Ever wondered why your favorite app suddenly breaks after an update? Behind every piece of digital technology lies an invisible world of open source software, code freely shared by developers who often receive little recognition and even less compensation. This hidden infrastructure powers everything from your smartphone to hospital equipment, banks to nuclear submarines. Nadia Eggball's Working in Public offers a fascinating glimpse into this world, revealing how open source has evolved from idealistic community collaboration to something resembling today's creator economy. The challenges facing open source maintainers mirror those of YouTubers, writers, and other online creators, all grappling with the paradox of creating freely accessible content while sustaining themselves in an attention economy gone wild. As billions came online, the dynamics shifted dramatically. We began effectively DDoSing each other with information overload, a pattern particularly visible in open source, where developers who share code publicly often find themselves overwhelmed by user demands. The reality contradicts our collaborative ideals. Many popular projects are maintained by just a few developers facing overwhelming demands. Studies show nearly half of all contributors only contribute once, accounting for less than 2% of total work. In over 85% of GitHub projects, less than 5% of developers are responsible for over 95% of code and social interactions. What if, instead of fighting this reality, we recognize it as the new normal? The early internet promised a utopian vision of free information flow and boundless collaboration, with open source embodying this ideal. But as billions came online, the landscape transformed. Modern open source has shifted from community-based to creator-centered. We're now building stadiums where few maintainers create for many users. Code trends toward modularity, with small libraries layered together rather than monolithic projects. The NPM ecosystem, comprising 97% of code in modern web applications, exemplifies this evolution. Unlike large projects that foster communities, NPM packages are small and modular, resulting in fewer maintainers per project and transitory relationships. Maintainers have transformed from community coordinators to curators who sift through competing user demands, balancing reactive engagement with proactive development. The primary challenge isn't attracting contributors, but managing high volumes of frequent, low-touch interactions. They're directing air traffic, not building communities. This shift mirrors the broader creator economy, where attention management has become central. Before GitHub, contributing to open source was cumbersome. Code was distributed as tarballs on self-hosted websites with mailing lists for communication and inconsistent contribution processes across projects. Early open source featured figures like Richard Stallman, the MIT evangelist who interrupted lectures to promote free software. The culture prioritized code over people. One prominent member even claimed open source had nothing to do with developers, insisting code is anarchist and must exist beyond individual financial needs. GitHub shifted focus from projects to people, creating what Michael Rogers calls the amateurization of open source, where pushing code became almost as routine as tweeting. Package managers further simplified code sharing. Today's JavaScript community exemplifies the GitHub-era ethos, friendly, polished, and politically engaged, with developers communicating through emoji and colorful logos. This represents a dramatic shift from the confrontational style of earlier open-source leaders, reflecting broader social media trends that prioritize personal over collective identity. As open source projects grow, their user and contributor bases expand at different rates, creating four distinct production models. Federations have high contributor and user growth, the bazaars described by Eric Raymond. Though rare, less than 3% of projects, they're disproportionately influential, including Rust, Node.js, and Linux. These projects develop formal governance structures similar to organizations. Clubs have high contributor growth but low user growth, creating overlapping contributor-user groups. Programming languages like Clojure and Haskell function like meetup groups, attracting users who become contributors due to community affinity. Toys are personal side projects or weekend experiments that developers tinker with for fun, without expectations of contributions or attention. Stadiums have low contributor growth but high user growth. While receiving occasional contributions, their core contributor base doesn't grow proportionally to users. Many essential packages like Webpack, Babel, and Bundler represent this model, the future of digital creation where a handful of developers serve massive user bases. Software, contrary to its shiny appearance, ages quietly and refuses to die. Unlike physical products, it requires ongoing maintenance just to keep running, updating dependencies, upgrading infrastructure, fixing bugs, and updating documentation. Richard Stallman described free software as free as in speech, not free as in beer, distinguishing capabilities rather than price. Later, Bootstrap's co-creator Jacob Thornton suggested open source is free as in puppy, initially cute but requiring significant ongoing care. Software has three major costs: creation, distribution, and maintenance. While code can be distributed at nearly zero marginal cost, maintenance costs grow dramatically with adoption. User support scales directly with usage. More users generate more questions and uncover more bugs. Some of the oldest code ever written still runs in production today. Fortran 1957 and COBOL 1959 remain widely used in aerospace, weather forecasting, and financial industries. As Bernhobart notes, if the software works, there's a strong incentive not to change it. This longevity creates a maintenance burden extending far beyond initial creation. People often cite the free rider problem to explain why nobody pays for software. If you can't exclude others from using a good, they'll consume it without paying. But with software, thousands can use the same code without reducing its quality. Static software may have no free rider problem. When code is non-rivalrous, it only incurs first copy costs that creators are intrinsically motivated to provide. The real issue emerges when users cross an invisible boundary and make demands on maintainers' time. While the attention economy typically refers to consumers' limited attention, producers' limited attention is equally crucial. As audience engagement grows, consumers appropriate more attention from creators. The tragedy of the commons occurs not from overusing the content itself, but from depleting a creator's attention. Open source maintainers manage this attention economy by automating to reduce costs, limiting their availability, distributing costs to users through moderation, and expanding total attention by recruiting more contributors. Online social spaces showcase creativity, with content emerging naturally from social systems rather than deliberate creation, becoming a snapshot of our civilization. Software's evolution reflects changing content attitudes. As code became digitized and open-sourced, monetization grew challenging. With abundant free code available, focus shifted from what developers create to who they are. Social platforms are adapting. Twitter experiments with creator moderation. Instagram Stories prioritizes broadcasting over conversation, while podcasts and newsletters reach audiences without dialogic expectations. Monetization has evolved from mass appeal advertising to Kelly's 1,000 True Fans model. Creator income now flows through subscriptions, sponsorships, and merchandise, all functioning through parasocial intimacy rather than audience size. We're entering an era where audience quality trumps quantity. Creators optimize for meaning instead of likes, building targeted audiences and earning more from fewer people. This shift grants creators freedom and fuels the renaissance transforming digital creation.